Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 26th of December. Hope you had a good Christmas or a great Christmas celebration still to come in many cases. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. CJ Miller and Greg Allen check in with this Friday's news, including a look at the 2026 trade deficit projection and planning your weed control program for the coming season. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast includes clouds and a mix of conditions in the coming days. And during the short Christmas Eve session Wednesday, grain and oilseed markets posted some nice gains. We'll have the settlements and Tom Fritz market commentary all on the way on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
The projected ag trade deficit for 2026 and looking ahead to the growing season. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. $37 billion, that's the projected ag trade deficit for fiscal year 2026, according to an update this week from USDA. CJ Miller reports.
But that's a decrease from the record ag trade deficit in the previous fiscal year of 2025 of $43.7 billion.
We know that tariffs have had impacts on U.S. exports.
And that's Dr. Darren Hudson, director of the International Center for Agricultural Competitiveness at Texas Tech University.
And across the board, whether we're talking about soybeans, corn, obviously soybeans was the big loser. Corn less so, but it was a negative impact.
However, he says the tariffs have not put a dent in consumers' buying patterns, and the demand for imported products remains high.
The price was going up. The landed value or price that the consumer was going to pay was going up, but so was volume. And, you know, that's a little bit strange when you think about it that way. It indicates a bit of insensitivity of the U.S. consumer to those prices. The tariff impact on, say, your shirt that you bought at the store was small enough that people really didn't notice that.
Hudson adds that the market remains strong for many U.S. ag products.
On net, yes, I think the tariffs probably hurt export some, but really are not hurting those imports coming back. So there's some strength in that demand side, or at least consistency in that demand side.
Earlier this month, President Trump announced a $12 billion Farmer Bridge Assistance Program for farmers impacted by tariff-related market disruptions. Farmers who qualify will receive those payments beginning in late February. I'm CJ Miller.
Growers are already looking ahead to the 2026 growing season, and weed management is at the top of the list. Early season control is critical for protecting yield, especially as weeds continue to develop resistance to post-emerge options. One pre-emergence tool many farmers rely on is pyroxasulfone, a residual herbicide known for strong control of tough grasses and small-seeded broadleaf weeds. But there's a catch. Without the use of a safener, pyroxasulfone can cause significant crop injury in corn, especially under stressful growing conditions.
Early season weeds, they start impacting the potential as soon as that crop comes out of the ground. It'll actually change its leaf orientation.
That's TJ Binns, a service representative with Syngenta.
And one of the important things to remember with that is it's not only impacting the above ground portion, but it's actually affecting your roots. It's going to reduce the amount of root mass on that crop. So any stress that comes on later in the season will actually have a detriment just because you've already got less of a root mass there to be able to pick up your nutrients, moisture, and everything else.
Ben says that by pairing effective weed control technologies with built-in safeners, they help protect corn during early growth while still delivering long-lasting residual control.
Crop safety is important because, once again, any time that plant is working a herbicide or anything really, I mean any stress through its system, it's taking its effort away from growing the plant material we need. You know, if it's trying to work that through its system, it's not developing the roots. It's not developing leaves, which is what we're needing later on in the growing season to be able to collect that moisture, be able to collect that sunlight to produce the grain. That's really what we're worried about.
As growers plan ahead, agronomists encourage taking a close look at herbicide programs that balance weed control with crop safety, setting the stage for a cleaner start and stronger crop in 2026. Find more on this story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A gray, cloudy, damp day unfolding over the Hoosier State for the day after Christmas. Boxing Day, going to be bringing, boxes that are breaking down due to excessive moisture in the north. Excessive probably is a little over the top, but let me tell you, you don't have to travel too far north to get into quite a mess here. We've got a warm front lifting through the area today. Temperatures were milder yesterday than what we saw on Wednesday, Christmas Eve. Today, better mild air than yesterday. But as that warm front has been lifting north, it's running into cold air, and we actually have warm air overrunning some cold air trapped at the surface. That means Michigan today dealing with spotty freezing rain, and there will be some pockets in the central to eastern part of the state that could be quite a bit of a mess as we move from this morning into midday. Just keep that in mind as you're heading north. We did have some freezing rain advisory wording put out yesterday for Steuben and LaGrange counties. Generally, the state of Indiana is far enough in the warmer sector today that I'm looking for rain pretty much everywhere we see precipitation. That doesn't mean it won't be a little bit chilly here to start, but I'm looking mostly at liquid precipitation. You get into the southern third of the state, we may not see much action down there at all. Southwest Indiana missing out completely. But I think we still have to pencil in anywhere from a few hundreds to maybe half an inch of liquid over the state here today, winding down by early to mid-afternoon, coverage around 60%. Behind this, we are going to be trying to clear out a little bit overnight tonight through tomorrow. Strong southwest winds in here ahead of our next frontal boundary. Those southwest winds will bump temperatures up. I think we're going to be mild, let's just put it that way, for the Saturday time frame, although again a little bit windy. And then we see some moisture developing overnight Saturday night right on into Sunday, and that's going to be liquid precipitation ahead of our next front. I think we have to look for anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of a precipitation now for Sunday, Saturday after midnight through Sunday, and maybe lingering into the pre-dawn hours on Monday. Cold air is going to be racing in at this point. I don't think the cold air gets into the Hoosier State on Sunday. I think we're mild here again for Sunday, but bitter cold air dominates on Monday. I also think most of this precipitation outruns the start of the cold air, so I am not concerned about rain ending as snow in Indiana at all. We are quite chilly for Monday, quite chilly for Tuesday, and New Year's Eve on Wednesday. I'd been hoping for a little moderation. I now think cold air wants to hold in here and stay. So chilly Wednesday, New Year's Eve, for New Year's Day on Thursday, and I think we're going to keep the chill around on Friday as well. Now, is it going to be as cold as what we see to start the week? No. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to be seasonal to maybe even a degree or two above normal as we get toward the end of the week, but still not nearly as mild as what we have put together to finish out this Christmas holiday week. Going into that first full week of January, we're going to start it off with some moisture in here. I do think we moderate temperatures for Sunday the 4th. That puts down rain anywhere from a tenth to 3/4 of an inch, and then we follow that up with a mix of clouds and sunshine, mostly dry weather for that first full week. Temperatures staying seasonal for this time of year. That's your forecast. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
While snow may cover Indiana's soil and water, Hoosier farmers know the great treasure that lies out of sight.
As we move through the holidays, know that the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance values you as an integral part of Indiana agriculture. However you contribute to viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water, IANA and its partners stand ready to help in 2026 as you manage expensive nutrients successfully and plan for next season.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Higher grains and oil seeds in a short session. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll first get some thoughts from analyst Tom Fritz. I checked in with him on Wednesday. He's with EFG Group. Partial day of trade on Christmas Eve. And Tom, we saw gains in the overnight session on Wednesday morning and then some follow through. Higher all throughout the short sessions, led by the soybean complex and double-digit gains in beans. What do we make of that?
Well, I think it's a little bit of short covering. From a technical standpoint, the soybean market is advertising a low. The meal market's advertising a low. And soybean oil is advertising a low. I think most of the trade today was largely technical. As fundamental rationale, well, you know, you can talk about maybe some dryness developing in southern Argentina, but overall, northern Argentina looks pretty good. Southern Brazil had been dry, but they're starting to see some pretty decent rains. Northern Brazil, northeastern Brazil, they're in pretty good shape. So that's why I say the majority of today's trade was just basically short covering, stemming off of some, technical issues, if you will. This, the wheat market, the rationale over there, yeah, there's technical short covering. But concerns about what's happening between Russia and Ukraine. Russia's doing a fair job of bombing the daylights out of Ukraine ports. So there are exports of corn, wheat, and vegetable oil backing up from Ukraine, meaning they have contracts, and right now, due to port damage, they either lost some of that product or they're unable to ship the product. So I think that's behind the wheat market. Plus, there's some talk of cold weather in the Russian areas, but I don't know. I'm not real concerned about that because there's snow cover. Whereas in this country, we will see a selected state, call it a selected state condition report. I believe it's going to be next Monday. But the last time we saw a selected state condition report for the hard red winter wheat areas, they were pretty decent. So I just think, once again, the trade is short. So we get some, technical short covering. Corn market goes along for the ride. And, corn's got its own story. We've got excellent domestic demand. We've got some pretty good export demand. So the corn market is now challenging the top end of its, I should call it the intermediate top end of its trading range, which on March corn, I believe, was 452 and change. If they really get excited, then they're going to go challenge the 457 level. But I'd be skeptical to see anything beyond that level ahead of the USDA on January 12th. Simply put, it's the Santa Claus rally.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago, up 3.5 on March, May, and July corn contracts. March ends on Wednesday at 451, May 459. Jan beans, 1063 and a quarter, up 11 and three quarters. March 1076 and a half, a gain of 12 and three quarters. May 1087 and a half, up 13 and a quarter. And March wheat, 521 and three quarters, up 4 and three quarters. The meats sold off. February live live cattle, 228.55, down 145. February lean hogs, 85.05, down 92. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.